Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. You can hear the Voice of Hope every Sunday on Sasa Radio at 7:30 in Bungoma, Western Kenya. And also you can hear it online by going to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, voiceofhopetoday.org, where I post all my messages and all my podcasts on my website. I just want to bring greetings today to everyone in Bungoma in Western Kenya who are listening by radio. And I want to bring greetings to all those in different countries who are listening to the Voice of Hope on the Internet. You know, we live in very challenging times, but we also live in very great times because God is moving by His Spirit all over the world today to bring in the end time harvest. The end time harvest are people that are going to come to Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not in a location. The kingdom of God is within you. When you are born again, the kingdom of God is in you because the Holy Spirit comes and lives you, and King Jesus comes over your life, and you come into the kingdom of God, and you come into the blessings of God and the authority and power of being part of the greatest kingdom. So the kingdom of God is not limited to a country or a place. The kingdom of God is in the hearts of millions of Christians all over the world. The kingdom of God is in every nation. It is the greatest kingdom that is in the world today. And God is moving in His kingdom. God is empowering His people in these last days to bring in the end time harvest, to testify of Jesus Christ. We're going to see greater miracles today than any time in the history of the church. We see all the great miracles that happened in the life of Jesus and in the book of Acts. But the miracles that we're going to see today are even going to be far greater because God is preparing for a great end time harvest before the return of Jesus Christ. And so if you are born again and a child of God, then you are part of the kingdom of God, the greatest kingdom, and the kingdoms of this world are going to come down, but the kingdom of God is going to come up. And Jesus is coming back for a very powerful kingdom, not a weak kingdom. And so God is calling us as the children of God, as people of God, as part of the kingdom to stand up and testify of Jesus Christ. And so today I want to talk about how we can overcome the enemy by the power of our testimony. And I want to look at the testimony of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26. And so if you want to turn to Acts chapter 26, you can. And we'll look at some of the testimony of the Apostle Paul and how that can encourage us to share our testimony. Your testimony is what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Your testimony is what Jesus Christ did when He walked on the earth in the Gospels. See, we have a great testimony in Jesus Christ. And so we look in the book of Acts, and it talks about the birth of the power, the church in power, in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4. We see the conversion of Saul, who was persecuting the church, who became Paul, one of the greatest apostles in the church. Paul turned the world upside down during his time. He traveled all over the world at that time, Asia Minor, establishing churches, walked doing the supernatural, preaching and teaching. He was a very powerful evangelist, very powerful preacher and teacher. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the book of Acts. And so we come toward the end of the book of Acts, and we see the final chapters in the life of the Apostle Paul. And in Acts chapter 23, the same Jews that killed Jesus or plotted to kill Jesus and had the Romans crucify him are the same Jews that now are trying to kill Paul. Because Paul had been such a powerful evangelist and has led so many people to Jesus Christ and established so many churches that the Jews hated him just like they hated Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if the world hates me, they will hate you. And they will hate us because we are a testimony of the power of God. You know, the enemy does not like to see the power of God. The enemy does not worry about us if we're just kind of lukewarm Christians. But once we become on fire for Jesus Christ, the enemy does not want us to change the world for Jesus Christ. The enemy wants a weak church, not a powerful church. And so as the church grows in power in these last days, the enemy is going to come and attack us more and more. But we will overcome by the power of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the power of our testimony. So we see in Acts chapter 23 that the Jewish tried a plot to kill Paul, and Paul is rescued by Roman soldiers, because Paul was a Roman citizen. He was a Jew, but his parents were also Roman citizens, and Rome was the ruling power at that time. Israel was under the power of Rome. So the Jewish leaders could not legally kill Paul, so they tried to kill him in secret, but when they couldn't, then they brought accusation against him. And we see in Acts chapter 24 that they bring accusation against Paul, and they bring him before Governor Felix. So Governor Felix is the governor of that time, of that area that they were in. And so Governor Felix has a trial for Paul, because the Jewish leaders are accusing Paul of doing things against the Roman government. But they can't prove anything against Paul. And so Paul, in Acts chapter 24, stands up and he gives his defense before Governor Felix. You see, and Paul is not trying to defend himself to escape from prison, but he's there to stand to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, Paul was not concerned about himself. Paul had already spent time in prison before. He had been stoned. He had had people threaten his life. He had had all kinds of bad things happening because of the gospel. So Paul was not concerned about himself. Paul always took the opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter who he was standing for. So he's brought to trial before Governor Felix, and he testifies of the gospel of Jesus Christ before Governor Felix. But Governor Felix cannot find any reason to have Paul killed. So to please the Jews, he has Paul thrown into prison. And we see in Acts chapter 24, verse 27, that Paul spends 2 years in prison. And during that time, Felix has Paul secretly come out, and Felix wants to learn more about Jesus Christ, because he's very interested in Jesus Christ. But he does this in secret, because he doesn't want the Jews to know that he's learning about Jesus Christ. But he leaves Paul in prison for 2 years to please the Jews. And during that time, Governor Felix is replaced by another governor called Governor Festus. And this governor now calls and listens to Paul's testimony. We see that in Acts chapter 25. And when Festus came to the province, that he had court, and he heard the testimony of Paul. And Paul appeals to Caesar, who's the emperor, that he wants to speak to Caesar and bring defense against Caesar. See, Paul recognized that he has an opportunity now to preach to not just people, but the government officials. He's been arrested, and now he's standing before government officials, and he's not afraid, and he testified before government officials about Jesus Christ. So Festus makes a decision to have a king, Agrippa, listen to Paul's testimony, so that King Agrippa can give him counsel on how he should try Paul, and if Paul should go on to be represented or to speak to the Caesar, the emperor of Rome. And so that brings us to Acts chapter 25, and we'll look at the Acts chapter 25, verse 22 through 25. So Festus has King Agrippa and the queen have come. And so in Acts 25:22, it says, "Then Agrippa said to Festus, 'I would like to hear this man. I would like to hear Paul for myself.'" So Festus has told King Agrippa about Paul. So King Agrippa says, "I want to hear Paul for myself." So Festus says, "Tomorrow you shall hear him." So verse 23, I want you to see this in verse 23, what is happening to Paul. So Acts 25:23 says, so the next day when Agrippa and Bernice, who was the queen, had come with great pomp and entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought forward. And Festus said, King Agrippa, all and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me both at Jerusalem here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. So he says, the Jews have said that Paul should die, and so I'm presenting him before you today. Now, I want you to get a picture of this. Paul has spent 2 years in prison, and prison is a very tough place. You know what prison's like. So life has been difficult for Paul in prison. So he's brought out of prison in chains before King Agrippa and before the commanders and prominent people. So you have this court with the King Agrippa and the queen. You have the governor Festus there. You have all these military people. You have all these very important people of the city that are there to listen to Paul. And Paul is brought out from prison. You can tell he has not had a bath. His clothes, he has prison clothes that are all dirty. He's in chains. So Paul looks terrible. He is bound, and he is brought before King Agrippa and Bernice to defend himself. And in front of all these very wealthy and important people, Paul has an opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we should never be intimidated by our position or by our appearance. See, when Jesus was brought before Pilate, Jesus was all beaten. They had mocked and made fun of him. People were crying, crucify him. But Jesus stood before Pilate all beaten and bloody. And Pilate said, are you a king? And Jesus said to Pilate, yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. See, our identity is not determined by people around us. No matter who you are, you have a testimony. No matter who you stand before, you have a testimony to share. Don't be intimidated by the way people look or by the way you are. It doesn't make any difference if you're poor or have money. That makes no difference. If you have walked with Jesus Christ and Jesus has changed your life, you have a testimony to give. So Paul, in old prison clothes, all dirty and in chains, probably his hair has never been cut, his hair is long, and he's brought before all these important people to give his testimony. So let's go to Acts chapter 26, verse 1, and look at Paul's testimony. And so Acts 26, 1 says, then Agrippa, King Agrippa, said to Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. So let's go down to Acts 26, verse 9. Acts 26, verse 9 through 12, Paul tells about who he was before Jesus Christ, before he became a Christian. And Paul begins to speak in Acts 26, verse 9. He says, indeed, I myself, though I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Paul says, I had to come against those who were preaching about Jesus of Nazareth. He says, this I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut in prison, having received authority from the priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote for them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, that is, speak against the name of Jesus. And being exceedingly enraged and angered against them, I persecuted them in every foreign city. So Paul is telling the testimony about what he was when he was Saul before he met Jesus Christ. And Paul said, when I was Saul, before I got converted, I persecuted the Christians. He says, I had them beaten. I had them put in prison. I even had them put to death. He says, I punished them in their synagogues. He said, I tried to get them to recant or say they didn't believe in Jesus. And he said, I was enraged and angered by the Christians because I was against them because I believe Christianity was against Judaism. And he says, I persecuted them in every foreign city. So Paul was going everywhere, persecuting Christians everywhere he went. Then Paul begins his testimony in verse 12 of Acts 26 about how he got saved and his encounter with Jesus Christ. And so Acts 26:12, he says, while thus occupied, he said, while thus occupied, he said, while, he mean, while I was persecuting Christians, I was going to city persecuting Christians. He says, as I journeyed to a city called Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests in Jerusalem, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, which was Paul's language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So why are you kicking against me, Jesus? Why are you coming persecuting me? In verse 15, Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which you will yet be revealed to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people and as well as from the Gentiles to whom I send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and the inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul here recounts his conversion. He gives a testimony of how he was saved, how he was traveling from Jerusalem to Damascus with letters and permission to persecute Christians in Damascus, to throw them in prison, to beat them, and even to kill them. And he was on the way to Jerusalem when a bright light, he said, came from heaven, and everyone that was with him fell off their horse because they all saw the bright light, and a voice came from heaven, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, Saul wasn't persecuting Christians, he was persecuting Jesus Christ. Because when we are persecuted, the enemy is coming, and not just against us, he's coming against Jesus Christ. And so he gives his testimony of how he persecuted, his encounter with Jesus Christ, this vision he had, and the light that knocked him off the horse, and the commission that God gave him. God said to him, I have appeared to you for a purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both to the things which you have seen, that is the experience, encounter you have with Jesus Christ, as well from the Gentiles to whom I send you. So you're a witness to the Jews and the Gentiles, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. So Paul gives his testimony of how he was saved, how he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and Jesus changed his life, and Jesus gave him a mission to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world and to preach Jesus Christ to the world. See, God can use every kind of person. You know, there is no one beyond salvation. Maybe today you're someone who has not accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're walking in all kinds of sin and disobedience. Maybe you're walking in rebellion against God. Maybe you're walking in witchcraft and other things. But God can save everyone. God wants to save you from the power of sin. God wants to save you from destruction. God wants to save you from death. God wants to save you and give you eternal life. You know, sometimes some of the people that are the most wicked are the people that God used in the greater way. You know, there was a man that I witnessed to that was in prison. He was a gangster. He had been thrown in prison. He had spent 18 years in prison because of all the things he had done. And I was able to witness to this man, lead him to Jesus Christ. And now he's gotten out of prison. And he leads a very powerful ministry all over our part of our country, leading people to Jesus Christ. And his ministry is called Faith Walkers. And God is using this man in a very powerful way to do signs and wonders and miracles. God took a gangster and God saved him, redeemed him from sin, and used him for a great ministry today. See, the power of God is here to save every person. See, God wants to save you today from whatever situation you find yourself in. God wants to save you. He wants to give you not only eternal life, but he wants to empower you to walk the Christian walk. See, God uses people who have a terrible testimony because their testimony is of the power of God to save anybody. So God, Saul was a persecuted church, even killed Christians, but God saved Saul. Saul had an encounter with Jesus Christ that changed his life and that gave him a mission in life, and that is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. Paul came from a very terrible place into a very powerful place. So let's continue with Acts 26, verse 19. So Acts 26, 19. Paul says, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn from God, and do works benefiting repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me." So Paul has given his testimony. He said, "This is I, an encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus changed my life. He put me on a mission." And he says, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." And Paul, Saul, who the persecuted church, became a powerful testimony of Jesus Christ. He changed, turned the world upside down, established churches every place, became a great apostle who wrote most of the New Testament, because God wants to redeem people. In these last days, God wants to redeem people from every walk of life, every kind of person. God wants to raise up people to walk in the testimony and power of Jesus Christ. And so Paul said, "I was not disobedient to what God called me to do." And then read verse Acts 26, go down to verse 28. So Paul has finished his testimony. And so, and he's come to a conclusion in Acts 26, 28. It says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuade me to become a Christian.'" Paul's testimony almost persuaded King Agrippa to become a Christian. And Paul said to King Agrippa, "I would to God that not only you, but all these government officials who are hearing me today, all these important people, all these rich people, might become both almost and together just as I am, except without chains." Paul said, "My desire is for you, King Agrippa, you, Queen Bernice, you, Governor Felix, all these important people, all these religious people who have heard my testimony, to become like me, to become a child of Almighty God, to be used of God, to declare God's glory and God's purposes." See, we live in harvest time. God is raising up a generation of people who are on fire for Jesus Christ, who will share their testimony of what the power of Jesus Christ to change lives, no matter who they meet and no matter who they are. See, God wants to use all kinds of people. We overcome the enemy by the power of our testimony. See, for myself, you know, when I grew up a missionary kid in West Africa, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was young. Later, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I came to America when I was 16 years old to finish my education in America. I was in secondary school, and I was in a city called Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I became part of a youth group that was on fire for Jesus Christ. We, at the beginning when I came there, we had about 100 young people in our church. And everywhere we went, we talked about Jesus Christ. We evangelized, preached about Jesus Christ. We went to hotels, we went to restaurants, talked to people about Jesus Christ. And during that year, our youth group grew from 100 people to 300 people in that year, because we were on fire for Jesus Christ. We were just young people, teenagers, 16, 17 years old. But we were excited about Jesus. We were on fire and talked to everybody about Jesus Christ. And at that time, I was working as a shamba boy for a very wealthy family. And the wife was a very important woman in the government. She was very dignified, very important, dressed very nicely. I was a simple 16-year-old boy, a shamba boy, wearing old clothes, working in the shamba. And she was always very dignified. But I talked to her about Jesus Christ. I told her what Jesus had changed my life, because that's what I did. I talked to everybody about Jesus, because I was on fire for Jesus. I was 16. I had not gone to any Bible school, had not any Bible school training, but I was excited, on fire for Jesus Christ. And I remember one day I was checking into work, and I let her know I'd come to work in the shamba. And she said, "Andy, I want you to know that tomorrow I won't be here." She says, "I'm having to go in to get surgery." And she said, I've gone deaf in one ear because my eardrum was damaged, and now they need to replace my eardrum and I have surgery. And so I said, I know that Jesus can heal because Jesus has power to heal. Now, I'm a 16-year-old boy wearing old clothes, working at Shamba, talking to a very important, powerful, wealthy woman. And I said, I know that Jesus can heal. Can I pray for you? She said, sure. She probably expected me to pray a nice little quiet prayer. No, but I was bold in Jesus. I was bold in Jesus. And so a 16-year-old boy, this woman was all dressed up, looking very nice, very professional. And I walked up to her and I put my fingers in both her ears. And I began to pray in, right in front of her face that Jesus would touch and heal her. And when I got done praying, she thanked me for praying for her and she left. She wasn't a believer in Jesus. She didn't know anything about Jesus Christ except what I had told her. And so the next day she came back. She said, I went in for surgery, and before they surgery, they checked my ear, and they said I had a brand new eardrum in my ear. And I was, as 16-year-old Shamba boy, was able to lead this very important woman to the Lord. Why? Because of my testimony of Jesus Christ. Not my testimony that I was a great preacher or evangelist. Not my testimony of who I was, because I was a nobody. I was a 16-year-old Shamba boy who was excited about Jesus Christ. See, God wants to use all of us, and God wants to use our testimony for His glory and His purpose. In Revelation 12:11, it says, and they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. So we overcome the enemy by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the word of our testimony. And if we're willing to lay down our life for Jesus Christ. I want to tell you today, and I want to encourage you with this testimony today, that the Holy Spirit is moving around the world today. And Jesus is looking for men and women, young people, old people, rich people, poor people, that will stand up and testify of Jesus Christ. Because we overcome the enemy by the power of our testimony, by talking about Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, I just thank you for every person listening to Voice of Hope today, Lord God. Lord God, I don't know who they are or where or what they're facing. If they're a non-believer, I pray today, Lord Jesus, that they will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Jesus, that you will change their life, set them free from sickness, from death, and power of the enemy. And Lord, I pray for Christians today who are listening to the Voice of Hope. Maybe they feel like they're no important. Maybe they have life full of problems. But Lord, I pray that they'll stand up and testify of the greatness of Jesus Christ. No matter what situation they find themselves in, help them to lift up the name of Jesus. Because Jesus, your name is above every name, Lord God. I pray that you'll move with power, Lord God, in Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi. Move throughout Africa. Move in America. Move in Europe, Lord God. Move by your Spirit. Energize your people by the power of the Spirit to declare their testimony of what Jesus is doing in our world today. Lord, we just celebrate you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, be bold about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer for our world today. Jesus is the answer for the problems in our world today. I want to encourage you to be bold about Jesus Christ everywhere you go. May God bless you. Encourage other people to listen to the Voice of Hope every Sunday at 7:30 on Sasa Radio, or go to thevoiceofhopetoday.org and listen to my messages online. May God bless you, and I hope you will listen to the Voice of Hope next Sunday. Have a great week walking with Jesus. God bless. Bye-bye.